The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
And welcome to the 5 o'clock hour of Bob Burney Live. I just read a statement earlier today from a major denomination sent out to the pastors in that denomination, and this is not verbatim, but it basically said, you know, we've been so divided in America about issues like LGBTQ and abortion. It's time to unite and to move on from these divisive issues, especially abortion. Well, that's certainly not my view, my opinion, and I don't believe it is the view of my guest either. Alan Jackson is the senior pastor of World Outreach Church. He is author of a wonderful book called Intentional Faith. He has served World Outreach Church since 1981, and under his leadership, they have grown to a congregation of over 15,000 souls. Alan Jackson, it is a delight to welcome you to the program. Thank you for joining me.
Well, thank you, Bob. It's an honor to be with you today.
Well, it is my honor. And is it really true that the other Alan Jackson, you've met him and he actually asked for your autograph?
No, that's not true. But I have sure disappointed some people in Middle Tennessee when I've made reservations and then I'm the one that shows up.
Yeah. Well, it is a delight to have you, Alan. And that statement that I just mentioned actually came from a major denomination and implied that for the sake of unity in the body of Christ, we need to stop talking so much about abortion. Your view on that?
Well, I think it's a tragic position. I think the church has a responsibility to be the conscience of a culture. And when we're sacrificing 3,000 lives a day on the altar of convenience, the church had better find a voice. What? I've been asking a question for several months now. You know, with all the COVID protocols and changes, are we more afraid of COVID-19 or God's judgment? Because we've been willing to change our lives dramatically to protect ourselves from COVID. We've stayed at home. We've changed our shopping habits, our dining habits, our holiday habits, and we've defended abortion for several years with the primary argument being nobody has a right to tell me what to do with my body. Until we got to 2020 and everybody's had a right to tell you what to do with your body. Put a mask on your body and keep your body at home and don't send your body to school. And your body shouldn't go to church. And we have accepted those requirements, and yet we've insisted that we have the right to terminate the pregnancy in the third trimester when the child is clearly viable outside the womb, and we call it a choice. I think that's reprehensible.
We're talking with Alan Jackson, senior pastor of World Outreach Church down in Nashville. Alan, you obviously are pastor of one of the nation's largest churches, and it has become incredibly politically incorrect to oppose abortion. You are not ashamed or embarrassed at all to take a strong stand for life. Do you receive pushback from your congregation for being so vocal on the life issue?
There are always voices that prefer a different response. We're a very divided country and a divided culture, and tragically, the church is divided.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm more afraid of my boss than I am negative emails. And it isn't, we try not to speak with a tone of condemnation or criticism. We have to understand what the baselines are. And at the end of the day, we're going to have to face our Creator. And all of us are broken, and all of us have broken places in our lives. And people who have been through the trauma of abortion need healing and hope.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference in extending healing and hope to people and condoning ungodliness. You know, I have tremendous compassion for the places where we struggle in our lives. I struggle in my own life. But I'm not going to reduce God's standards to the level of my struggle. I'm going to ask God to help me raise the quality of my life to be pleasing in Him, to Him. And I think that's the assignment of the church, to be the conscience of our culture, or we will face the judgment of our boss, and that concerns me.
I think one of the mistakes we have made is we have allowed this to become a political issue rather than a moral issue. Let me quote from an op-ed piece that you wrote recently. With their choices in this last presidential election, more than 70 million people voted for abortion, including government funding for abortion, even in the third trimester. More than 60 million children have already been sacrificed, all because of a woman's right to choose. We've been told there is nothing more sacred than what we choose to do with our own bodies. But I am guessing that you are viewing this far more as a moral issue for America than just a political football. Am I correct in that?
Absolutely. It didn't begin in the political arena. It's a spiritual issue. The sanctity of human life is a fundamental tenet of Scripture. You know, in all the cries for justice and equal treatment before the law, the root of that, the foundation of that, is the sanctity of every life. We're created in God's image. We're His image bearers. The weakest amongst us, the oldest amongst us, no matter what color our skin, no matter our sex, we are created in the image of Almighty God. And when we set that aside for convenience or economic opportunity, that's not a political issue. That's a matter of our faith.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not even a complex issue. It's not a friendly issue, but it is not one that's difficult to grasp. When the politicians step into the arena of our faith, we're not monitoring politics. We're defending our territory that they've encroached upon. And I don't intend to yield.
Well, good for you. Good for you. Here's something else I love from another op-ed piece that you wrote recently. And again, I quote, "I believe 2020 was actually a gift from the Lord to shake us from our slumber of comfort and convenience." Alan Jackson, I am hearing from so many Christians who are just in despair over the election, the pandemic, and here you are saying this year was a gift from the Lord. Can you expand on that?
Absolutely. I think how different our perspective is in January of this year than it was in January of 2020.
Mm-hmm.
A year ago, churches were defined by comfort and convenience. And those that are in churches now are far more grateful, far more appreciative. They're far more awake to the challenges that are before us. We are more aware now of things like censorship, of the government's resistance to churches gathering together. Those things have broken into the open. To me, the difference isn't one of despair. It's the difference in being asleep and being awakened. When you're asleep, you're unaware, you're unconcerned, and you're uninvolved. It's a healthy part of a life cycle, but if all you do is sleep, you're a disgraceful son, the Bible says. And I think now that we're awakening, we're startled by the reality of the world we're living in, but I think we're better prepared to respond to it and to be people of faith. So I'm excited about the opportunity.
Well, I am as well, and I share that very much so. I knew our time would go incredibly quick. How can my listeners learn more about Alan Jackson Ministries?
Well, you can just Google Pastor Alan Jackson, or you can go to alanjackson.com, and it'll probably give you more information than you want.
You mean you actually have alanjackson.com, not the other Alan Jackson?
Yeah, but he spells his wrong. Mine is
A-L-L-E-N. All right, A-L-L-E-N. And by the way, your brother is going to be guest hosting for me pretty soon, and I'm excited to have him behind my microphone for a few days.
That is awesome. The church next door in Hilliard is a great place. You don't have to come to Tennessee to find a good church. Just go to Hilliard.
Alan Jackson, and check out his fairly new book, Intentional Faith, and check out alanjackson.com. That's A-L-L-E-N, jackson.com. Keep up the great work, brother. Keep up the editorials. Keep up the pastoring. Keep up the standing for truth and the sanctity of life. God bless you and thank you.
Thank you, Bob, for all you're doing.
Alan Jackson, alanjackson.com, his book, Intentional Faith. Pray for him. He's got a huge target on his back, standing for life and pastoring a church of that size. All right, we'll be back with more Bobberty Live in just a moment.
Today's news, God's Word, and your thoughts. This is Bob Burney Live.
Well, I would file this in the, you might find this very interesting folder. I learned something today, and maybe you will learn something as well. If I were to ask you, who is the highest paid individual in the U.S. government? We're talking federal employees, people employed with our taxes. Who would you answer? I would imagine many people would say, well, it's got to be the president of the United States. I mean, he's the president. Of course he made more money than anyone else in the federal government. You would be wrong. Now, if I had been asked this question, I don't know who I would have said. I probably would have said the president. I probably would have said the president. But I would not have guessed the actual person. Would you like to know who is the single highest paid federal employee in these United States of America? Are you guessing? Here it is. Here's the answer. Dr. Anthony Fauci. Yeah, no, I'm not making it up. His salary, now this was 2019. We don't have the 2020 figures yet. And it is believed that he received a considerable raise last year. This is 2019. His salary in 2019 was $417,608. Quote, which made him not only the highest paid doctor in the federal government, but the highest paid out of all 4 million federal employees. 4 million people employed by the federal government, and Dr. Anthony Fauci is at the top of the list. I'm reading from the report. Fauci didn't enjoy the public profile he has today between 2010 and 2019, while they were funding his salary of $335,000. That all changed at the start of the coronavirus pandemic when Fauci's media appearances helped springboard him into the national spotlight and so forth. Between 2019 and 2024, if he stays on, he will pull in $2.5 million. And that's if he doesn't receive a raise. That is up from the $3.6 million he made between 2010 and 2019 when he was only making $335,000. That's all he was making back then. But now he is bringing in $417,608, which is more than the president, more than any of the 4 million federal employees. Now, I'm tempted to make a lot of editorial comments, but I'll just say this. That's an awful lot of money to pay someone who has been wrong so many times. I'm not questioning his intelligence. I'm not questioning his education. But as is the case with much of today's science, it changes year by year, month by month, week by week. Sometimes science changes almost hour by hour. And please remember, it was Dr. Fauci who, in a TV interview, well documented, way back when this whole thing started last year, it was Dr. Fauci that went on TV and said, I don't think this thing is going to be anything to worry about. It's in China. It's going to affect a few people. But seriously, I don't think we have anything to worry about here in America. Yeah, that Dr. Fauci who went from that to, we're all going to die. And then the Dr. Fauci that said, you know, the masks really don't work. You know, I think it's good. I recommend it. But you certainly don't have to wear a mask. To everybody must wear a mask. To just recently, I think everybody should wear 2 masks. Highest paid employee in the federal government. And speaking of high, marijuana sales reached record highs in 2020. According to early data, marijuana sales in the U.S. increased at least, you ready for this, 67% this past year, jumping from $10.7 billion in 2019 to $17.9 billion in 2020. Considering that marijuana is only legal in a handful of states, $17.9 billion, a 67% increase over the year before. And by the way, most of that was not medical marijuana. No, most of it was just people getting high, trying to escape, and sadly, many times driving or trying to conduct other important activities while stoned. And of course, the marijuana industry, and folks, listen, I'm not talking about CBD. I'm not talking about the safe forms. I'm talking about the stuff that makes you high. There is a growing acceptance of just getting high, getting stoned on marijuana. If you want to look at the results of that, take a close look at teenagers and marijuana in the state of Colorado. It'll break your heart.